Praise God. So we're here together to be together and to really think about what God is saying to Cornerstone, to the church, in terms of our culture. Basically, after our weekend at Quiet Waters last year, that the enablers have been working on it and refining it, and we've come up with some things we want to share with the church today about culture, but I'll talk about that later on. So at the beginning of a new season again, students are about to arrive. We've got one or two last minute things happening, a provision coming in and people coming in and that sort of thing as usual. The usual faith project right up to the last minute. But it's going to be a great year in the college. We're really expectant of what God's going to do. It's amazing, you know, how people have grown over the last years. It's amazing how people have grown within our number, you know, and our people are now filling their spaces, doing things that in years gone by they wouldn't have dreamt of doing or wanted to do or felt themselves able to do. But God has really been building people up slowly but surely, all of us, everyone's different than they were. And that, of course, is a sign of a people who are moving forwards with God, continuing to move forwards, continuing to walk in faith, and continuing to receive his blessings and to grow as people. If we stop growing, then really it's no point carrying on. We always want to be moving forwards and growing. So it's wonderful to see the growth that's taken place over the years. The thing I heard recently from Paul Mannering, that listen, the Christian world has realized that mega churches are not the answer. Big churches are not what's going to change nations and change the world. I mean, they're good and they have their benefit and all that, you know, but it's not that that will change the nations. It's big people, not big churches. And that's always been in the heart and spirit, I think, of where the spirit people has certainly been in mine. I've never found that a way of expressing it, but it brings a certain joy to my heart to hear that the Christian world is acknowledging that, as well as anyone else who's seen it before. But I mean, praise God for the big churches. You know, thank you, Lord, for all you're doing through that. But God needs big people, not big churches necessarily. Just want to talk about a few things and share a little bit about what's coming, and then finish with sharing the culture that I believe God has called us to inculcate. Is that the right word? Yeah, good word. I'm not sure I can spell it, but nurture, a culture to nurture amongst us. It's not because we decided to do things, you know, we want a culture, because everyone's talking about culture. Let's decide what culture you want. It comes out of what God has been speaking and doing from the very beginning. It's recognizing and acknowledging what he's doing and joining in with it, identifying it so we can all see it and crystallize it in our thinking, be transformed by the renewal of our mind, and walk together in faith and in unity. Good word, the unity in Aaron's beard, etc. Where there's unity, God commands a blessing. So let me just ramble for a little bit. It's very difficult to gauge what to say when there's people who we see occasionally, some people we see weekly, some people we see daily, and God's doing things all the time, you know. So if one finds oneself repeating certain things because you want, with all your heart, you're trying to get everybody on board and let the word of God, you know, reach everybody and let everyone have a chance of getting hold of it for themselves. So forgive me if I say anything you've heard recently, especially the guys at FEH, but it'll all come together and we'll come into the culture thing, which is probably fresh to us. At least in the way we're going to present it tonight. But the first thing I want to do is to think about, I'm going to pick some guys. The rest of you can sit easy. Or you go to that wall. Can you push that wall, please? Just push it until it caves in. It's big, strong guys. Keep pushing. Come on, push! Push! Keep going. They're going to stay there all meeting, just trying to push it down while I carry on talking. Are you getting very far? You moved it? Has it moved an inch?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all.
Come on, Bill, come. Put your back into it. Honestly. They haven't got very far, have they? All right, any of them sweating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think if they did it for long enough, their muscles would get built up a bit?
A little bit.
Some of them need it, don't they? Yeah, okay, guys. Yeah, I don't think you're going to get very far with that, but thank you.
No.
And of course, that's a picture straight out of the Freedom in Christ material. Those of you who've done it, Freedom in Christ, will recognize it, of the poor guy. God tells him to push against this boulder, and he starts pushing. He wants to be faithful with God, and he wants to do what God says. So he starts pushing this boulder, and he pushes, and he pushes, and he pushes. And days, weeks, months, years later, nothing's happened. The boulder hasn't budged the slightest. And he says, God, what did he get me to do that for? He says, well, look at you. Look how you've changed in the time you've been pushing it. Look at your muscles. Look at your perseverance, your determination, your faith. Look at who you've become as you've pushed that boulder. He said, I never said it would move. I just told you to push it. that came to mind as I was sort of praying through what to share tonight. Because, you see, that's a little bit what I feel like, that we've got this weird vision and strange vision, and we've been pushing against it for years now. In some ways, you think, well, is this, you know, haven't we got anything to show for it? But in other ways, you stand back and think, well, God, look at what you've produced in the church, in the people, in where we are compared to where we used to be. Look at what you are producing. As I was praying before, I just saw that this is an exercise in a shift in perspective, all right? We're going to shift our perspectives. Because when you come to call on us and hear about what we're doing and why we're doing it, from the perspective of having been a churchgoer and someone who's been in a church playing and observing the church for many years, like we all have, we've all played different parts in many, many churches, I guess probably, I don't know, 100 churches, well, maybe not 100, but a lot of churches between us over the years we've been in and been participating in, and we have an idea of what church means. If I said to you, what's the first thing that comes into mind when I say church, what do you say?
God.
Communion.
Holy ground.
Community.
People.
I want someone to say steeple. I want someone to say steeple. What do you say to people? First thing that comes into your mind. We are fighting against our own prejudices, our own ideas, our own ways of seeing the world, our mindsets, our world views. And as soon as you say, well, we're going to do church a bit different, let's say this is the different, this is the vision God's given us, Cornerstone. And when you come from this side of the square, this is us, okay? We've come from a history of doing church. And we come to think, well, that's a bit odd. This is the thing our church, like I've seen. Well, I hear what he says. I get some of the point. It seems to make sense sometimes. But when I keep looking at it, I can't work out. Really can't work out how this works. I don't know about this. Goodness me, I'm not sure about this. I compare it with this. That church, it doesn't seem to make any sense. I can't make sense of it. Can't understand it at all. I can look up and down, but I just can't work out what it is. Now, can I ask Jesse to do something different? This time, come around here. Try looking at it from God's perspective. Hey, look at that. Look at that. Look at what I'm going to create. A people. I'm creating a people with a certain mindset and attitude. A people who fill the universe, the body of Christ. Don't start thinking about church. Just look at it from this perspective. And yet we're here trying to work it out. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, we're going to it. We're trying to discern. We're trying to see what's good, what's bad, what's working, what isn't. What is he going on about? Why is he talking like this all the time? Da-di-da. But actually what we've got to do is just come around here. Hey, I can see it from a different perspective. Just see it completely differently from here. And although it doesn't make much sense to say this, as I was thinking about it during the week, you've heard me talk, some of you, a lot of you, probably all of you, about a community of faith and a people up here and how the church and the way of the Spirit is really one people, even though we're two separate legal entities, etc. That's all the stuff over here. Forget all that stuff. Put us all in here. And then say, okay, God, what have you created so far? What have we got here? And you get quite excited. What's he created? I mean, I just jotted down three things. You could probably think of more. What's he making? A people who are enriched regularly, daily, often by the word of God, who love their Bibles, comes alive for them. They live it out, shared experience, seeking God with all their heart. And they seek to live out. They don't just read it and get excited. They seek to live it out day by day in their everyday life, not just as teachers, but as Christians, as born-again people who are filled with the Spirit of God, filled with life, and wanting to fill the universe with that life. And they're not just, you know, into the Bible and teachers, teachy-teachy, but they're reaching out. They're being witnesses of all that they see, of all their encounters with God, and all they draw from their engagement with the Word and in prayer and out of their wholeheartedness and faith and receiving grace from God and wanting to try and live in it. They're witnessing. They're all witnessing, not just one or two. They're all doing it. They're all witnessing. Hang on, they're going out locally. They're doing stuff around their place. They're all going out one way or another and building this relationship with this. And hang on, they're doing more than that. They're going regionally. They go up to Sheringham and they go out to this place and that place and do some teaching or some witnessing or something. Take the cross out to Yarmouth or whatever. And they're doing that as a lifestyle, not just as a one-off event because the pastor says, but it's becoming a lifestyle for this group of Christians who are wholehearted, engaging with the Word of God and choosing to live it out. They're choosing to have a lifestyle of reaching out. So it's not just Sunday morning or Tuesday evening or whatever it is, but it's becoming a lifestyle. Not just one or two of them, but all of them. And they're reaching out locally, regionally, and hey, they're going out to the ends of the earth. They're going to Africa and India preaching. They see pastors, leaders coming alive in the Spirit, getting revelation, changing nations. Hang on, this little group of people. Yeah, but when I think about it in relation to church, I just don't get it. Well, stop thinking about it in relation to church then. Come round here and look at it from here. With the eyes of faith. See what God's building. And so as I look back at us, and so just for the purposes of this moment, we are a people, and there are others who are unable to be here tonight, but that we are a people, we're pushing against that wall, but God is making us into a New Testament people of God. Amen. We are becoming all we could possibly be. I mean, it's up to God if he increases the numbers. That's his problem, and not ours. He can shift the block whenever he chooses. But he is creating. And isn't Jesus the head of the church? Isn't he the one who's meant to build the church? How is he ever going to do that if we're always thinking about this and trying to build our own thing? How will he ever build what he wants? And we're relating everything back to history and steeples. How will he ever break us out of that thinking? The only way is to get a people who are willing to follow him step by step into the unknown and willing to move in a direction even though they can't make sense of it all the time. So that God can create what he wants to create. And so I want you to be encouraged tonight. Whatever you feel about where you are, don't be so subjective, and get it all down to you. But look, stand back and look at the people of God that Jesus is making us and molding us into. Even if we're not there yet, see the direction he's moving us in. See what the end result might look like one day. And Jesus says, he doesn't say you build a mega church. He says, be faithful in the small things. He says, walk in faith and obedience. He says, even if you don't understand, just take this step. But God, I don't get it. You don't have to get it. Just take the step. Keep a good heart. Walk in faith and obedience. Take another step. Lord, I still don't get this. Well, it doesn't matter. Just go. Keep your heart right. Speak the right things. Amen. Join in. Give yourself to it. This is what I've called you to. Be wholehearted. Be established. Etc., etc. Not as cornerstone, but as disciples. Established so that no matter what it costs, we take that step. And it doesn't really matter if anybody ever looks the other side or not. Because the angels are looking there. And I believe with all my heart one day, we're going to see something glorious. There is something Jesus has made us into. We haven't done it. I mean, I was struck this morning, I don't know where it came from particularly, but I was doing the 8:30 at FEH, and I was struck by the sense of God's timing. And I was thinking, well, you know, how many years does it take before you get to a place where you can say this, or where you can even think of people being on the same page? The unity, you know, and it's taken a long time. But I know we couldn't have done it any quicker. All we've been able to do is to hear God day by day and do what he says. And then when you get the storms, you walk through, and when you get the bump, you walk through, and then you keep your heart right. This person goes, that person goes, oh Lord, keep your heart right, darling, darling, darling. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. And so I believe, you know, I don't know how you see where we are. I don't know whether you're able to readily see from here and go, wow. I think perhaps some of you might be able to, maybe you all can, I don't know. Maybe God will give us that grace tonight to be able to see that just that he's building something that he has got in his heart and in his mind that is there in Scripture, in the New Testament, but it's just we're going about it a rather different way than they have tended to do for the last 2,000 years. We're doing it by following Jesus step by step, by being led by his Spirit who leads us into his Word. His Word is a lamp unto our feet. We're making disciples. We're being faithful to things, etc., etc. The way of the Spirit would not be what it is today, I don't believe, if we hadn't had Cornerstone running alongside it for the last 10 years, you know, with the outward thrust and with the challenges of all the rest, all the stuff that's been there to change us, all the rocks to push against that have come. So I hope no one involved in Way of the Spirit is sort of hanging around Cornerstone because they think they have to. I hope that's in no one's heart anymore. I hope that we're in this together and we're moving forward, and this is just as much what God is calling us to do as anything to do with the Way of the Spirit. In fact, it may be more important. There's certainly been far more attack. I've known far more spiritual opposition from day one with this than with anything the Way of the Spirit have done over the last 15 years. I mean, that may be because we're in different phases of ministry, of course, and maybe John had to deal with stuff in the early days, but that's just my observation, you know, running with the two of them, running with both. So I hope also we do see ourselves as one people, and there's no, I don't ever pick it up actually that anyone ever feels, well, those were the Spirit guides at FEH. I believe those of you who are in the Cornerstone and not so much involved at FEH have been really gracious and humble and supportive of all those who come in every year at FEH. I think it's been great. I think your heart, your attitude, I've never heard anyone say anything to make me think that there's this division between the two, you know, and there shouldn't be, and God is working it out if there is any, and we're becoming that one people. And that's going to become even more important because this is quite possibly the last year we'll have FEH. We're following God in it, and as far as, I mean, he's got time to change his mind or to change our mind or to speak something different, but it might well be the last year at FEH because he's beginning to show different things, other things. And that means Cornerstone is going to be going to have a different sort of feel to it a year from now. And so it's important that this year we particularly stay in the right place of God to see what he wants to do so that we're standing on our own feet and filling our space and being everything he's called us to be. And that's exciting. It seems sad if we do leave FEH. It's sad in a way because we've had 6 good years there. But if it's moving onwards into something else, then it's happy, it's good, it's going to be glorious. And it's going to lead to greater fruitfulness and all the rest of it. But the church shouldn't miss a step or whatever happens to the Way of the Spirit because as we continue on. Anyway, I know you're all ready to receive the new students as they come in this year and this time next week. And I know you'll give them a great welcome, as you always do. But the word that God has been speaking to us in this season, before I come on to the culture things in a minute, but the word he's been saying is, get yourselves ready. From Jeremiah. Get yourself ready. Just as he said to Jeremiah, who was young and didn't have a clue really about who he was. You know, I'm only a boy. But you shall go to all whom I send you. And you shall speak whatever I command you. Cornerstone, you shall go to all whom I send you. And you shall speak whatever I command you as you seek to be my witnesses in the world. Do not be afraid of them. See, some people are natural evangelists. They just love going out and talking to people. Other people would sooner hide behind a tree until it all goes away, you know, and never wants to go and talk to anyone as long as they can avoid doing so. But this is to the whole church. Do not be afraid of them. I'm not an evangelist by any means. I can preach an evangelistic message, and I can hook up with certain people in some ways, but it's not my natural giftedness or anything like that. And I can very easily live my life shrinking back from people. Mm. I can just go and live on my own, which I do at the moment with Rocky. Me and Rocky, as Josh is up at Sheffield. And I don't particularly like being on my own, but I'm okay with it, you know, and we'll see as time progresses. But I can do that, you know. Others of you have to have people around you, and God makes us different. There's no right or wrong, or good or bad. It's just different. We need all types, you know. But in the church, He has called us to be those who all fill our space in the world, whatever that means. It doesn't mean we've all got to become gregarious and extrovert, but it means that He has got a plan for every single person in the church, including me, of how we can get out and build relationships with people who don't know the Lord. And that is the key we have to keep coming back to. And no one in this room has any reason to think that they are not included in that, or in any other room who's not here. We all are included, because that's the vision, to get the whole church being witnesses. So every one of us is called to find our way of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us into building those relationships with people, whether it's your next door neighbour, as it is for me with Will, and I've got a Will opposite as well. There's two Wills, so Will and the family, and then old Will. I'm looking forward to Christmas time inviting neighbours in again, like in the summer. Not that many came, but several said they wanted to come but couldn't. So I'm going to do it again. Have a mince pie and mulled wine Christmas carol evening or something. Where we just get to know each other a little bit. I have to make a real effort to do that. That's not the thing I want to do, you know. But once I do it, I'm glad I've done it. But I have to make a real effort to do it. So that's the goal. Get yourselves ready, Cornerstone. So that's to every one of us in here. Get yourselves ready. Go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. I mean, the joy is that we're going to do this as a church. We're going to be all witnesses, one way or another, even though we don't particularly want to do it in our natural self. We're going to be a miracle church who find a way of seeing that happen in our lives, even though we don't particularly want to necessarily do it. And the Holy Spirit is going to give us the courage and going to show us. And I guarantee, promise you, or you get your money back, guarantee that you will be absolutely glad that you stepped out and spoke to that person, or invited that person around, or had that party, or that dinner party, or that barbecue, or that games evening, or whatever it is, that you did that thing. You knocked on your neighbour's door and gave them an apple pie. Whatever it is, you will be so glad you did it. Because at the end of the day, it's not about us. And when we step out in faith and do what Jesus is commanding us to do, we are strengthened. Every time you sow to the Spirit in obedience, you are strengthened and you grow. And listen, if you want anointing to teach, then you better know you can do what you're teaching. And that's what it's been about for me, not just teaching, but doing it. I can't teach obedience and faith unless I'm obedient. So Cornerstone is obedience for me. I've had to follow Him obediently, and I've had to be in faith. That's not to my credit, that's to God's giftedness and God's grace. If ever I'm lacking it myself, which I'm frequently, He's the one who makes it up. So your teaching as a Way of the Spirit teacher will be more anointed, it'll be sharper, it'll be more effective and more fruitful when you in your life are obeying what Jesus tells you to do. Do not get stuck in teaching. Just teaching for teaching's sake. Those seasons have gone. We can't afford to do that. If you want sharpness and fruitfulness in your teaching, then walk in obedience. Then you can teach about being obedient. And it'll bear fruit. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you. See, you go knock on the door next. I'm with you. I put it off. We trio. We kept meeting. I said, well, I'll do it then. I'll do it this week. Then I didn't. And all right, I'll do it this week. Okay, I'll do it. It's a heavy heart. I walked out with these little invitations. But as soon as I knocked on the front first door, I started enjoying it. As soon as I, you know, people started smiling and saying, oh, they didn't smile to start with. I thought, who's this guy? But then I said, well, I'm Richard from just down the road and I'm having a barbecue. And they said, the bee is smart. Oh, that's great. What a good idea. Well, you know, love to come. Oh, fortunately, we can't that day, but what a great idea. And it just, it's good, isn't it? It's whenever we are obedient, in whatever it is, we have that joy erupting in our spirit. It may be small scale, it might be massive, but it's part of our heritage to enjoy obeying God. Even when it's nothing to do with our natural abilities or natural personality. In fact, you know, standing up and talking to you lot is not my natural preference. I prefer to be at home reading a book, listening to Wagner, or the opera or something. I mean, I love speaking to you know what I mean? And I love flowing in the anointing of God and the gift of God. But this isn't what I would have chosen to do with my life had I made the choices, which I used to, and messed it up. So it's not about what you naturally would, or any of us would naturally, and we're going to be the church who is the outreach church, but so few of whom are evangelists, so few of whom are naturally outgoing people. So that's what's ahead, and we're doing it to a degree, and we're going to be doing it even more, because that's what God has called us to. We haven't got a choice. Do not say, I'm only a boy. Do not say, I'm young or old or whatever. For you shall go to all whom I send you. Take that for yourself. And you shall speak whatever I command you. I mean, it's only Jonah, isn't it? Don't be a Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to Nineveh. He said, not on your life, run off the other way. X months later, covered in whale vomit, the word of the Lord came to Jonah again. He said, go to Nineveh. Hadn't changed an iota. It's not going to change. It's not going to go away. Do not be afraid of them. There's no need to be afraid. There's no need to live in fear, any sort of fear. Take courage from those who have gone ahead of you and take that leap of obedience, faith. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And he put out his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth. The Lord said, now I've put my words in your mouth. See, it's not got your words anyway. You'll find what to say. I wasn't dumbstruck when the door opened. You know, I did find something to say. He'll give you everything you need. And you skip back home. Why on earth am I worried about that? Why not do this more often? It's fun. It's good. It's good. And then the word of the Lord came to me. I see the branch of an almond tree. The Lord said, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. You see, he's watching over his word to us. We may get it, we may not get it. It doesn't actually matter. He is watching over his word. He's watching over what he's spoken to us, and he knows where we're going, and he knows what it looks like from the other side. And he's watching over it, and he's going to keep watching over it. He's not going to change it. The direction we're going in will not change. There might be some, you know, whatever, but it's not going to change. This is who we are called to be. Those who are witnesses in the world. And that'll make your teaching three times more effective. 17. But you, gird up your loins. Now, who's going to volunteer? I want someone to give me an action of girding up their loins. Who's going to be a good girder up of the loins? I don't even know what it means, do you? Go on, Leonard, gird up your loins. Stand up, give us a girding up your loins. Right, okay. All right, well, that's Elijah getting up his cloak and running with it, running with the vision, running with what God said. So that's what God says to Jeremiah. You gird up your loin, stand up and tell them everything I command you. Do not break down before them. You won't break down before them. Or I will break you before them. And I, for my part, have made you. This is when we've got to choose to believe. Don't look back at our own histories, our own feelings, our own personality, our own insights into who we are. No, God says, I have made you. What's he made us? A fortified city. Say, I'm a fortified city. I'm an iron pillar. I'm a bronze wall. Against the whole land. See? God has made you. He's made us. The people who can fit exactly this thing he's spoken. We don't have to understand it all, but we can fit it. And all we've got to do is be obedient. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness and for what he particularly is calling us to do. So get yourself ready for filling our space, finding our place and filling our space. For all outreach we might do. For sharing and teaching on Fridays. Get yourself ready. Gird up your loins. Because God is going to move. Yeah. As you walk in, as we walk in obedience and faith. Never just casually amble into something. Gird up your loins. Get ready. God's on the move. He's going to break in and do something. That's the prophetic life, isn't it? So, yeah, we don't live by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We don't try and work it out. We're not people who are moulding our own sense of what we think church should be. This isn't Richard's idea. Or anyone else's idea. Okay? We don't live by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We live by the tree of life. And when I went to the tree of life, this is what God showed me. He doesn't say understand it, comprehend it, feel good about it. He says, this is what I want you to do because I'm building something. This is the vision I'm giving you and it comes from the tree of life. And as you sow, it'll produce life. We were doing this in the way of the Spirit the other day. Do right for sin crouches at your door. Interestingly, when we do right, if we do right, you don't have to worry about the sin crouching at our door. Do right. Do the thing God says. Walk in God's ways. Walk with your will submitted to God. And you won't have to worry about all the sin stuff and the temptation. It's crouching at your door, but you do right and you protect yourself. It's the highway of holiness in Isaiah 35. Walk on the highway of holiness and no ravenous beast can get you. Look, we're utterly safe up here. Just do what God says. You're utterly safe. He'll provide. He'll give everything you need. He'll give you the faith. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the courage. No ravenous beast can get you. You won't knock on the door and it open and a bear will come out and eat you. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be humiliated on the doorstep. In fact, the devil will tell you that's what you're afraid of. You know, that's what you should be afraid of. But the very opposite will happen. You will grow a couple of inches as you walk away. I've made a new friend. He's a neighbour. He's lived two doors away now, and he has done for X years, but never even met the guy. I was amazed when I went around. And apart from Will, I didn't, and the guy on the right who didn't come because he was on holiday, I didn't know anybody. I'd never seen them. I didn't recognise their faces. And yet their whole world, the whole drama of their whole world is being enacted 50 yards away, 100 yards away, you know, whatever it is. It's extraordinary, the lives we live these days. Extraordinary, the individualism. Yeah. Yes. You go into your home, everything in your home, you eat on your own, watch telly on your own, read on your own, live your own life, you know, and then you go to work and come back and shut the gate and lock the door and turn the lights on and put the heating on and you are on your own. It's amazing, isn't it, what the individual... I mean, for most of history, we haven't had this individualism. So to God, it must look really weird. To us, we think it's normal, but it's not normal at all. It's not normal condition for the human race. To live the way we live. It's utterly abnormal. And we've just been conditioned by all the stuff here, that's all. We think this is how we're meant to live. We think it's good for us, you know. So do right, sin crouches at your door. Do not be anxious. These are just scriptures God gave me, so for someone, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious about it. Don't get anxious about your part and what God's... Holy Spirit will show you. Just be submitted and ready to step out. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be anxious about anything because the devil prowls around like a lion. You've seen that. There's a link between anxiety and The devil. That's what Peter says. He says, do not be anxious. Then he says, the devil prowls around like a lion. He's crouching at your door. He's waiting to jump, and he jumps on anxiety. Anxiety comes from fear and unbelief, and maybe pride. Do not be anxious. Take your anxiety to the cross. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. Doesn't matter what you have to walk through. I'll give you peace. In any case, he didn't promise all comfortable life, did he? You know, that's not what we're up for, comfortable life. I mean, he'll give you everything you need and much more. Give you eternal life. Give you fullness of joy. Didn't say give you a comfortable life. So he'll fulfill you. So do not break down before them. I, for my part, have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall against the whole land, the kings, the priests, the political people and the religious people and the people of the land. So that's everybody. That fits all categories. He's made us, he's given us everything we need to stand against anything they would come against us with. They will fight against you. Sorry, everybody. Can't offer you anything better than that. They will fight against you. You will have to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil as you proceed in your Christian life as a disciple. You will fight your own flesh, you'll fight the world out there, and you'll fight the devil. Well, you don't have to fight the devil, just resist him and he has to go. But so it's not we can't deal with these things. In fact, we can deal with them. We have everything that needs to deal with them. But they will stand against you, and not all the time. Every time, but they will stand against you. When I was going through some difficult things a few years ago, the picture, I haven't said this for years, I used to share it quite a lot because it was so true and vivid, it's now sort of gone in, paled back into insignificance in the years ago, but it was, who's seen Zulu? The film Zulu? Rorke's Drift, isn't it? Right, so here are these guys, the British Army, and they're dug in this little, and they're defending it with a few guns, and then these Zulus spread out on the line on the horizon, and they start beating their drums, and they're ready for the attack. They've been waiting for it, boom, 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 and they start moving towards them. And of course, they have this incredible battle, and lots of English get killed, but just the hero and a few others manage to scrape through, and they're there. Phew! And you think, wow, that was, you know, and then, boom, 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 another wave of Zulus come over on the horizon. And your heart sinks. Oh. And I certainly have experienced that as a sort of a picture of what it's felt like sometimes. The wave of opposition. You're just about stand after it, and then you hear this boom, boom, boom. There's another wave coming. But it's okay, because God gives us everything we need. So they will stand against you, but they will not prevail against you. See? Mm-hmm. They won't prevail against you. Don't worry. It's part of the Christian life. It's okay. They won't prevail against you. So, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. The first seven, for that I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. You see, I've brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. I've brought you into a good place. Okay, so let me just move on then to the cultures. So these are the cultures that, as enablers, we've met and we've talked about. And so these are the things that we felt came out of the weekend at Quiet Waters, which last February, and which we've been praying through and working on and talking about. And we've refined them a little bit. But basically, these things are what... Now, when we say culture, I suppose we mean live and breathe. These are the things that according to the things God's called us to, he wants us to be living and breathing as part of our everyday life. So Cornerstone Church, we live and breathe this stuff. Whatever way it works out in each of our lives, this is the culture that people coming in will pick up, because this is who he's called us to be and what he's said to us over many years in different ways, but particularly focusing back on the Quiet Waters thing, where we looked at the history of the church and we looked at what God had said, and then we looked at all the things we felt, the strengths and the weaknesses and what he wanted us to do. So, number one, there's about five of them, I think, four or five. The culture that produces Christians who follow Jesus who won't be pew sitters, where each person is activated, knowing and living out their identity in Christ. So producing Christians who follow Jesus, who won't be just pew sitters, so very much called not to be those who turn up to a meeting on a Sunday and then, you know, spend the rest of the week waiting for the next Sunday. Who won't be pew sitters. Each person being activated, that's Ephesians 4, isn't it? Knowing and living out their identity in Christ. So that's talking about everything that we, Cornerstone, has got in the vision, which is reason why we don't meet on Sundays. So it pulls the rug out from under our feet, even if we were tempted to think this is what makes us part of the church. Going to a certain building on a certain time of the week is not what makes us part of Cornerstone. We can't say that because we don't meet on Sunday mornings in any particular building. We've been moving around buildings, moving around times of the week, specifically for some time in order to have this culture pervade us. And I must admit, it's taken time. In the early days, people crept out of their back doors and went to churches and church services. Yes, they did. Anyone looking guilty? Creeping out of the back door and going to a church on a Sunday morning? The early days, people did because they weren't able to get out of the habit. They thought that somehow they had to go to church on Sunday. It took a long time for that religious attitude, I mean, of course, there's nothing wrong with going to church on Sunday, but that religious attitude is where it comes from, isn't it? That religious attitude being broken in the church, in Cornerstone. So that shows that we've come somewhere. You know, we don't feel anymore that we have to go to a meeting on a Sunday. So we're more concerned with following Jesus. We're more concerned with doing where he is all week long. And we're more interested in not becoming someone who just sits on a pew and receives passively. That's the opposite. God has said, that's not what I want you to be. I want you to be, I want the whole body activated. And that's, of course, what we're about. And very much also where the Spirit is about. So how are we going to do that? We're going to continue teaching it. We're going to carry on reinforcing and encouraging the trios, which are those things to get each other accountable to each other and how you're being activated, what you're doing, when you're doing it, make yourself accountable to someone. And thirdly, as we have been doing, we're going to do even more. When we do meet together, Tuesdays or whenever, we'll be giving space to people to share what they've been doing, what God's been leading them into during the week. Okay, now it's great, there are many people share. Sometimes you can't start the meeting because everyone's sharing, and it's fantastic, and some weeks it's a bit more, people are a bit more reticent, but that's okay, because we're moving in the right direction. It's not where we are that counts, it's what direction we're moving in, and we're moving in the right direction. So that's number one, culture. Second culture, that we have a kingdom culture, that our mindset is about kingdom, not about church. Okay, that we're called to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And we know that when we do that, all the things that we need will be added unto us. We're a kingdom people. We're not about just building Cornerstone Church. We're about being the kingdom. But it takes a real effort, doesn't it? To get ourselves out of that church. Because what is it that makes us think like that? It's because we somehow think we want to grow our numbers to make, because we're making it big and we put a lot of effort into them. It's all me, 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 our church, church, church. That's entirely the opposite of what being a kingdom church is. All right? It doesn't matter if we never grow in size, but we impact many, many, many people who get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, and change nations. Who cares how big we are? In one sense, who cares? And if God wants us to be big, he'll make us big. So it's getting out of the church mentality. This sort of me, 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 my church, this church, our mentality. So cultural kingdom rather than church. But also, it's not just about church. But if it's kingdom, then we're not just about words, but we're about power too. The kingdom of God is not a matter of words, Paul says, but power. So we're committed to seeing God's power. Now, power through words, by all means. But also, there are other ways of seeing power demonstrated. In ministry, both in the church, in the meeting setting, and out there. When we're filling our spaces all week long. Not just in the college. Those in ministry have a tougher job to work this out in our lives. But we have to. Because we're part of the church. and we're called to do this. So even if we're at FVH all day during the week, we are called to find a way of reaching out to people and build relationships with those who are not saved. It just could be one person. It doesn't have to be hours and hours and hours. But come on, we've all got to do this. And so wherever we are in the week, during the week, out there, filling our space in the universe, we want to see not just words. I mean, words are difficult enough sometimes, but I think probably most of us have gotten to the stage where we're bold enough to tell people we're saved, you know. But now let's see the power as well. Amen. Not just from me ministering here or anyone else, you know, but you see it. I mean, the whole point is it's not about the pastor, it's about the people. The pastor's here for the people. Who are the most... If the fivefold ministry is here to equip and retrain the people of God for works of service, who are the more important people? The church. It's the church God wants out there being witnesses, not the pastors and the evangelists. The evangelists are there to release other people out there to do it. The evangelist isn't there to do all the evangelism. Same to teachers, and they do all the teaching. Teacher releases, imparts a gift that raises up other teachers. Evangelists raise up other people to go and evangelize. And what we've done in the past in church, we've tended to say, well, we've got the evangelists, let them get on and do it. You know, phew, we've got an evangelist now, we don't have to do it. No, 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 no. The evangelistic anointing is to equip the saints for works of service. And in the case of evangelism, it's for evangelism. Evangelist is for evangelism. So one of the cultural things is that we recognize and walk in, and you know, we're not there yet, but we're going to walk in this direction, okay? So we come to the place where we recognize that the kingdom is about power, not just about words. It's certainly about words, but it's also about power. And so we're going to see power on the street when we pray for people. Yeah. See people healed. In your office, lay hands on them. See something change in them as God imparts life into their situation. Whatever other scenario you can think of. Come on, let's see the power of God out there. That's what we're totally committed to, because that's what we're called to. I'm not saying that's where we are at the moment. I'm not saying that's where we should be, but I'm saying that's the direction we should be moving in. And the culture we want to inculcate. I like that word. I don't know where it came from, but it just popped into my head. So culture of kingdom, not just words, but power too. And we're building the kingdom, not the church. Amen. So how are we going to inculcate this culture of kingdom? By teaching, by repetition, by making sure we understand our focus is not on cornerstone, but building the kingdom. So that's going to come up over and over again in what we're preaching and teaching and what we're doing. When people are leading meetings, not just me, please, but anyone leading meetings, we must make room automatically for the power of God. Yes. In whatever way he leads. You can't make it happen, but you know what I mean. We must be ready to step into that. Some people, I know, because I used to be like this. You think, well, that's not my role. That's his. He's good at that, or she's good at that. That's not for me. I'm more of a this, that, or the other. Rubbish. The kingdom is the kingdom. Fear not, little children, I've given you the kingdom.
Yeah, right.
Anybody not got the kingdom living in them? Right, so you can all minister with power. All it takes is a bit of confidence and faith in him.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to deliberately press into that.
Amen.
Okay, so anybody ministering, I want to see it stop and minister. I want to see people healed. I want to see people baptized in the Spirit. I want to see people's lives turned around because of the word of God, and then you lay your hands on and see something imparted. This is the power. So we'll teach and train on it, don't worry. But this is for everybody. Just look at your neighbor and say, this is for me too. Those leading outreaches must see this aspect as every day. Right, so outreaches, yes, we're not just going to knock on doors and talk to people, invite them to barbecues. We're going to see the power of God on their doorsteps, in the drama on the high street, in the village hall, whatever it is we're doing. So when we do outreach, we go deliberately and intentionally to see the power of God released. This is how we're going to, and the last one is to train and encourage the use of prophetic gifts outside meetings. And also, we recognise when we were talking about this, when we're with other churches, we sort of sober down a bit and we sort of don't mention the spiritual gifts, you know. But come on! When we're doing something with All Saints, come on, rise up and let's see the power of God. It takes boldness, but come on, we've got the Holy Spirit. Boldness has to come from Him. You know, if we look at each other and think, can I do that? You can't do that. And no one, and, you know, just forget whether you can do it. He's calling us. Get yourself ready, kingdom-minded people. All right? And when you die to yourself, it's amazing what God can do. The next one is remaining flexible and nimble. One of the advantages of not meeting on Sundays is we're not locked into something that everyone's going to complain about when we change it. Yes, absolutely. So we can move from a Tuesday to a Wednesday. And not everyone's up in arms. Oh, I thought we met on Tuesdays. No one's ever said anything like that, I know. But come on, listen. The church needs to be nimble and adaptable in the hands of God. If He wants us to pray for 3 weeks at lunchtimes, we've got to be ready to be able to do that. If He wants us to go out, we've got to be ready to do that. If He wants us to have a week without any meetings at all, we need to be able to do that, just like that. No, we can. We can. And we've been particularly thinking, as we're planning the program, how to build that in this next few weeks. Not by keeping changing the night, so you have to guess what night we're meeting on. That's not the point. That's not the point. The point is our heart. Are we adaptable to hear what God says and able to move into it, whatever it is,
yes,
and whatever it costs? I mean, we're not there yet, but we're moving in that direction. Okay? If God brought in 12 people and said, I want the disciples, new Christians, have we got 12 people who can give themselves to disciple new Christians over the next 3 weeks? I mean, have we? I don't know. See, we've got to be ready to move into whatever God says. Maybe that's why we don't grow at the moment. Maybe we're not ready to. Are you ready to give up your extra evenings in the week to disciple other people? Have a think. No one's nodding or shaking their head, but you're thinking. And this is what it means, does it not? I mean, God's not going to bring a whole lot of people new saved if the church can't disciple them. Are we ready to lay down our lives to disciple somebody in the way that they will need? Not the way you dictate, the way that they will need. Some people need a lot more discipling than others. A lot more attention than others. Anyway, that's the direction we can move toward. I mean, none of this is just keep your eyes on the Lord. It's going to be wonderful. What would you prefer to do with your life than to see people discipled and growing and becoming fruitful? So that's the way we're going to encourage that culture. So we did work out that this was actually a death to self issue. We did say as we talked around it, that actually this is an issue of our wills. To become a truly nimble and adaptable church, it's our will that is actually being challenged. Because you see, what God has called us to do is completely different from this thing back here where my commitment as a Christian is to go to church on a Sunday morning. I'll go to a life group when I can. And I might go to the old prayer meeting here and there. And if there's a special thing, I might go along, see what the calendar looks like. I'll tithe, yeah. You know, whatever. That's how with so many people think about church. So to actually be ready to move when God says, rather than stuck in that sort of pattern, to be nimble enough to go wherever He wants us to go, over here, look, over here. I want you to go over here, okay. Well, that's going to take a revolution in our wills, which God is going to work into our wills by His Spirit. Thank goodness He's going to do it, and I'm not going to do it. Because you don't want me doing it, but He's going to do it. And that's what He's going to do. He's going to lead us into that. So to have that culture of being flexible and nimble is a matter of counting the costs and you know, very often. Discerning where we are and where the Holy Spirit wants to take us, then getting on and doing it. We're going to put in some variety. Just to build in that nip, just to, you know, get us used to, if we're not already, get used to doing different things. And allow the Holy Spirit to build it into us by stretching us. He's not a taskmaster. He'll take us at the pace which we can do it, and He already has, and He'll continue doing that, and it'll be fine, I promise you. You'll be so glad you walked this way. Right, particularly, we're gonna put in a week of praying as a church the week after the first week of term. So this is one of the things we decided to do under this culture. So just as okay, let's flap our wings, everybody. Let's stretch and be flexible and nimble, and let's just show that we're up for this. We're going to pray. Are you ready? Hold on to your seat. That's it. We're going to pray Monday to Friday between 6 and 7 a.m. in different homes. So, not this week, not next week, the week after that. Catherine has already been asked, some of you, if we can use your homes. If we use your home, it'll mean you don't have to drive anywhere else, so that'll be a blessing. But we're going to get up and we're going to go, we're going to pray for an hour. As a church, not a college, as a church. We pray into the church vision, pray into the things God is leading us into, and we're going to prove our nimbleness and adaptability. Okay? And he's going to kick the devil in the teeth because he's saying, no, you can't do that. You're going to be all stuck in the mud like everyone else. No, we're not. We're going to be nimble and flexible. So I invite you all to join us. It'd be wonderful if the whole church was able to join in with that. We're going to be working with Sheringham to work out how they can do that. For them, it's not going to work in homes, I think, we decided, but it'll work somewhere else. So no doubt Leonard's full of good ideas, having thought about it all summer and been interceding with the Lord to find out the strategy for Sheringham. So so that's just like a step. That's like a, you know, when God shows this to me, it's very practical thing to do. Just do something to make sure it's happening. Don't say, oh yes, I agree, next when that comes up, I'll do it. Just do it. Put something into plan. Put something into effect. Yes. Just do it. So we're doing it. We're going to pray 6 till 7, and God's going to bless us. Let me tell you, for any of you who are not used to sometimes breaking your routine and doing something different, when you do something like that and you do it in faith with the right heart and you do it, then it's such a blessing, and you will be the first to be blessed by putting yourself into the place where you're able to say, okay God, I'm willing to sacrifice my sleep and get up early and I'll be there. But like it, but I'll be there. But I'll tell you what, you will start liking it, because what really happens in prayer is that we change. When you've had a sort of revival in your prayer life, you've started changing. Mm-hmm. And you're different at the end of the week than you were at the beginning. Mm-hmm. He's not twisting God's arm. He's led you into something, and it's woken you up and spiritually and put something in you that's fresh and different and which you're going to need for the next thing. So anyway, so that's the first thing we're going to do, just to demonstrate our nimbleness and adaptability, okay? And the final cultural thing, so this is very similar to the first one, but it's more specific. The whole church being sent and reaching out to prodigals and the unsaved. Sorry, it's a bit subtle difference, but the first bit was about Christians who don't pew sit. And the last one is about specifically reaching out to those who are not saved, or prodigals. I know prodigals are big on Sheringham's heart. That's great. And either group are entirely acceptable. Prodigals, all those who haven't been. You see, right at the beginning, can I remind you, I'm sure I've told you this many times, but God showed me there are three groups of people only who are eligible to join Cornerstone. You know what normally happens? You know, you get a new church comes into the area and people leave all the churches in Norfolk to go and join that church. And then we've grown 150% in the first 6 months. All that's happened is Christians have moved from one church to another to see what's going on in that church. Three groups of people in Cornerstone. We do not want the church shifters, the wanderers. The people being saved. Those who are saved. They're saved and join Cornerstone. Secondly, the prodigals. Those who used to be involved in church and for whatever reason have shrunk back and no longer a part of church life. Thirdly, anyone who specifically is called to be here. Phew, you can't leave. If you're called to be here, and that's fine, that's fine. But we don't take people from other churches casually.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? Because we're not here to gain people from other, we're not trying to sheep, we don't want to do that. We don't just grow as people from other churches. We're called to be here, great, we're the ones called. Now we're reaching out to the lost and the prodigals. And if God brings anyone else from another church, then fine, we'll test it. And if it's right, go for it. So the culture of being sent and reaching out to prodigals and the unsaved. And the action points are very similar to the first, the trios, and it's because it overlaps very much. So you got that. And sorry, there's another one. And this is probably our biggest challenge. Culture of family friendliness and welcoming all ages. well, we're certainly not there at the moment, but that we certainly want to go in that direction. And so what can we do? Well, we've had an idea. I don't want to talk about it tonight because it's not quite come together or crystallised, but we do have something we want to put into effect, which maybe it'll be January now before we get going with it. But anyway, I'll share that another time. But we have got an initiative, and it'll start small, but I believe it'll bring in people with children, even if it's only to a certain time of the week. They'll bring them in and we can meet them, and who knows, God might bring them in to get saved or whatever. So I'll talk about that another time. So we are praying through that, and the enablers are working on that one. But anyway, that's the final cultural point, that we do believe God wants our culture to be family-friendly and welcoming of all ages. So that's probably the biggest challenge, because the other ones we're already working on and made considerable progress on. This one, we're going to have to really push against that wall and see it move. Okay, praise God. So it's not that there won't be other things that God builds into our culture, but these are like the ones that we believe he's speaking to us as a church, and it's the right time. If I'd done this a few years ago, people would have listened on some level, but I believe we have the right heart together, the unity and the heart, good-heartedness and the seriousness together about getting hold of this and playing our part. And I'm going to invite you to finish. I'd love you all to shift from there to there, where instead of weighing it up with the tree of knowledge of good and evil and trying to work it out with your mind and da-di-da-di-da, shift to here and just get a glimpse of what God, that God is building something. And just even if you just glimpse for a second or two, hey, look what's being built. Look what these people are becoming. Look what God is doing among these people. So, I'm going to give an invitation for you to come and stand here if you've found yourself more that side of things. And maybe you've had a glimpse this evening, or maybe you just want a glimpse from here. But you believe God's going to just do something fresh in the way you see what he's doing. Does that make sense? So if that is you, I want you to come and stand here, because I'm going to lay hands on you, and I believe God's going to impart something and show you something. And tonight will be a time of turning, shifting in the way that you think and the way that you consider a cornerstone and all that we are and want to be. Right, so thank you, Father, that you don't call us to work things out. And certainly in the way what you're doing in church in the world today, we are not going to be helped by trying to work it out from the way we're used to looking at church and thinking about church. So, Father, thank you for showing us there is a different perspective. To get to the different perspective, you have to leave the old one behind. You have to actually sort of throw it off, jettison it, let it go. Can I ask you to visualize moving away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and turning around and walking towards the tree of life? The tree of life contains vision and life and growth. And that's the place from which to understand, give revelation what God is doing.